Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, NPR's podcast about what we are watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Stephen Thompson, an editor with NPR Music, and I'm joined here by Jacob Gans. Jacob, can you tell the nice people what you do for NPR?
I am another editor at NPR Music.
Yeah, dirty little secret, Jacob and I are actually sitting farther apart than we usually do at work.
It's a little sad I can't reach out and touch you right now.
I know. I feel like there's this... The microphones are a barrier. So, Jacob, you are here with me today to talk about the new Taylor Swift record, 1989.
There's nothing else to talk about in our world right now, is there?
I finally got around to spending some time with this record, and I have opinions on it, and I bet you do too. I'm going to start with you. What do you think of the new Taylor Swift record?
I think Taylor Swift's new record, which is a straight pop record, her first front to back, nothing but big synthy pop hooks.
Yeah, Red was kind of a mix of
Her last record from 2012 had kind of went in all directions. There was some folky stuff. There was some acoustic balladry.
Yeah.
It had some country on it as well. And she came up in country. If for whatever reason you're not familiar with Taylor Swift, let's tell the backstory. She came up in country ever since she was a teenager, had some major country hits. Mm-hmm. Country claimed her as their biggest star for a long time. She moved more and more in a pop direction. 1989, which is the new record, is just all pop. It's all big synth pop songs, co-written and produced by big, huge pop songwriters and producers. And it is wall-to-wall hooks.
Yeah.
It is just big, huge songs.
Yeah, I mean, my immediate reaction to this record was how unbelievably sturdy it is. Some songs are catchier than others, but nothing that landed with a clank.
No, it's a very careful record, and I think that betrays her history in country music. Taylor Swift came from a genre that values extremely tight songwriting, that values storytelling, that values hooks and melodies. And along the way, she got to work with people, because country is a collaborative genre in large part, with people who helped her hone those skills. I'm sure she can do it all on her own, but she values that collaboration clearly. Right. And she doesn't write things that flop. All the songs are really tightly constructed. I think you hear that on this record a lot. She takes 2 years to make every record that she puts out. She puts them out on a schedule in like late October or early November every year. And saying that they're workshopped or really carefully crafted could be a knock against them, but she really knows exactly what she's doing in every album, and it comes through. And the fact that she's extremely skilled as a songwriter means that the songs end up being huge and stick around for a long time. She actually talked to Melissa Block on All Things Considered last week. In an extended version of that interview, you can hear on NPR Music, she talked about this. She talked about how carefully plotted this record was.
I think that the way that the music industry is changing so quickly, we can learn something from every big release, and we can learn something from everything that that works for people, anything that connects with people. And I think that what we need to start doing is catering our release plans to our own career, to our own fans, and really get in tune with them. I've been on the internet for hours every single night figuring out what these people want from me. And when it came time to put out an album, I knew exactly what to do.
Yeah, that line about I've been on the internet for hours each night. You don't think of gigantic pop stars sitting there reading everything that's written about them and studying how their fans relate to them.
Yeah, Taylor Swift gets a lot of credit for being like a Instagram savant or a social media expert. And the way that she's rolled this record out and the expert promotion that's come out around it, and sort of her being able to marshal all the forces of the recording industry to like sell an album in the old-fashioned way, right?
Right.
To sell it to radio, to sell it through TV, to use the internet, you know, the best way that it possibly can. It's virtually guaranteed to sell a million copies in its first week of release, which is crazy. It's the first record to do that since Red did that 2 years ago. You're not supposed to be able to do that anymore. She's just really, really good at almost everything that she does in this capacity. One of the things I think you have to remember about Taylor Swift is that she has been in the music business for half her life.
Right.
She's a seasoned veteran. She's 24 years old. But she signed her first deal when she was 14. And she's a total, total pro. I mean, add that to the fact that like every time you talk to any 24-year-old woman about anything, they're going to say something totally surprising and insightful and interesting. I mean, like the idea that people underestimate Taylor Swift ever is just shocking to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the comparisons that jumped out at me, even though it is a completely different kind of album release, is some of the parallels between this record and the most recent Beyoncé record. You're talking in both cases about artists who are massively in control of the music they make and are are perfectionists to the bone and have both released very, very ambitious records that require a certain amount of unpacking. I think the Beyoncé record is more complex and certainly more moving in more different directions. But that's a record that was sneaked out and suddenly existed in the world and everybody had to contend with it. And this is one that had a much more conventional rollout.
It had the definition of a conventional rollout. So now that we're done talking about, or now that we have talked about the rollout of the album and like the massive like industry figure that Taylor Swift is, should we talk about the actual music?
No.
Stephen, what's your favorite song on the record?
The one that jumped out at me immediately. I'm not actually a huge fan of the single of Shake It Off. It's very, 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 very catchy. It's very good at what it does, but it felt a little facile to me as just kind of like a note to the haters. Suck it, haters. And Blank Space was just an interesting sounding song that was very, very catchy and just had these little lines that jumped out at you.
I think the lyric to that song is really amazing. Maybe we should listen to a little bit.
Yeah, that line, got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane, is an incredibly grabby line. It's made to be pulled out and analyzed and have think pieces written about it. And yet it also, those words flow beautifully. It's so catchy.
I think it's a big advance for her lyrically. It's her flipping the meaning of her song with every single line.
Don't say I didn't warn ya. Boys only want love. It's torture. Don't say I didn't. Say I didn't warn ya.
This song is directly addressed to a person that she is possibly having a romantic relationship with, and basically saying, my experience here is far more important than any perception that anybody has of our relationship that we might have, and I might discard you, and that'll be fine with me. Which is a crazy thing for Taylor Swift to say, given the public face that she has. And it works beautifully.
Well, in that Melissa Block interview, which I really highly recommend, she talks about feminism and about shaping the message of her songs as directly like kind of sees the narrative of your life. And that comes out in a bunch of these songs. They're less reactive to sadnesses in her life and a little bit more...
Injustices, I think, is the way that she puts it in the thing. She talks about not wanting to be perceived as a victim to wanting to be in control of the story of her life.
And I think that's one reason this record jumps out as her most interesting record yet to me.
Yeah, and actually puts it in a long line of dance pop records about sort of like seizing and controlling your own identity and celebrating who you are as a person. I mean, you can Pet Shop Boys or
sure.
New Order or whoever. I mean, like all these songs that like came out in the 80s, the era that this record is celebrating, and really say, whoever you are, however you're feeling, dance and pop and music like this can be liberating. It's funny to put Taylor Swift in that lineage, but I think in a lot of ways it totally works. And that's a testament to the music itself as well.
Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thank you, Jacob.
My pleasure, Stephen.